Well, as far as I'm concerned, we can just go back to the auditorium. Dennis could come back one more night. And that does less than Ezekiel. That's fine with me. All right, tonight we get kind of a simple base class. Stories from Elisha, his life. And several basic, simple stories. Some of them we've heard all our lives and very familiar with. Whatever. So we start out actually in 2 Kings. Chapter 4, last little bit of it there, last part of that thing. And at that time, Elisha is at Gilgal. Here's Gilgal here. Jericho, Jerusalem, that's what we know about. He only hears them, Samaria, the capital up here. So there at Gilgal, this lesson kicks off here. So the first story from Elisha's life we're going to talk about is this miracle he did at Gilgal. So what did he do in the last part there, in the last part of chapter chapter 4? Let's talk about it. Who's he assembled with? Who's he with? So the prophet, sons of the prophet, the group we've seen him with before, around with him. And what comes up? What does the man bring up with him? 20 loaves of bread, 20 barley loaves, okay? And Elisha says, do what with them? Feed these 100 men? There wasn't 100 of them there? I think it was. Yeah, 100 men, okay? Feed these 100 men. Now, I don't know how big these loaves were, but by implication, they were not what? Not big enough to do what? Not to feed 100 men, okay? So, man's got 20 barley loaves, comes up. Tells the servant, feed these hungry men with it. Feed these men. There's 100 of them. And so the servant said, wait a minute. There's 100 men out here. I got 20 barley loaves. That ain't going to happen. So what did Elisha tell them? They should eat and have some left over. Now, my next question is there. Reminds us of what? Jesus fed 5,000, right? Yeah. Very similar type story here. So, obviously, miracle involved. We've seen several of them. We saw the widow's oil that didn't run out. She was filling the barrels with it, the pots with it, stuff like this. And obviously, a miracle involved here. And that's just this little short, simple story. I don't know much else to say about it other than that it happened here and it had a purpose, I'm sure, to impress these men, to show God's power in what they were doing. Not a lot said about it. Yep, that's it.
Simple story, but it shows the power of God.
Oh, yeah.
And that God is careful for his people.
Yep. So we'll go through these, and at the end we'll come back and talk about all of us as a group if you want to, and then see what we draw from some of them. But some of them get more to them than this, and the next one is that. So the next one I'm going to talk about here is Naaman. Very familiar things. We'll go to chapter 5 now, and let's talk about Naaman a little bit. First, who is he? Very first verse there. Who is Naaman? Tell me what you know about him. Syrian army, commander. The implication is he's like almost like the commander. I don't know, but a commander, a high up ranking official in the Syrian army. What else you know about it from chapter 1? The first one. King considered him to be a very honorable man, okay? Man of valor. That's what it says there. One more thing that's in there. Yeah, God had used him. Notice that part there? God had used him to deliver Syria. Thought that was a little interesting thing. I'm not sure I've seen it before. I'm not sure I've hung on to it that much. But caused by him, the Lord had given a victory to Syria. So he's the one that was commanding the army, leading the army. When Syria had victories, but not just Syria had victories, when God had given them victories through Naaman. So, interesting little tidbit on the side there from that standpoint. Okay, so he is commander of the army. He's a mighty man of valor. But he's also what? He's a leper. That's what the verse ends up with. But he was a leper. Okay? Leprosy. I found his comments about it. You can find other little different twists to it. But basically, it's a slow, progressive, chronic infectious disease. It affects the skin, the nerves, different membranes of the skin. And it gets worse. I mean, it goes along, type thing. One commentator says it's also used as a general term to describe various skin conditions that might exist. Maybe not necessarily this bad at times. So it's a general term there. But it's something that obviously didn't want out. It was bad. Not sinful. But he was a leper.
In this case, it was an obvious.
It was something, right, yeah.
Something like that.
Right.
Somebody spoke to
Yeah. Yeah. He hurt down inside somewhere. It was a very known thing. He was a leper, and it was a known thing he was a leper there. Okay. All right. Number three. Who told Naaman about a prophet in Israel that could heal him? How'd this all come about? Raids, bands, the men going in and raiding into the country of Samaria, of Israel up there, Samaria being the capital, into Israel. So she was back up. There you go. All right, jump ahead of me, sorry. She was this computer and mine at home, don't jive up on the same things at the time. She was a young maiden captured on a raid. She was a servant to Naaman's wife. So she had been close to the family, know what's going on with them there. And she told them about a prophet in Israel that can heal Naaman. Okay? So, Naaman, being close to the king, tells him about it. Asking permission to go see about this, or recommendations. I don't know exactly what he talked to him about, but he went to talk to the king about this. So the king says, okay, I'll help you take care of it. So what did he do? Wrote a letter to who? To the king of Israel. this little message is here. What did he send to him? What did the king of Syria send to the king of Israel? Now, we keep referring to him that way. Why? Who are the kings involved here? Okay, so that's all we can call him, the king of this and king of this. So, what did he send to him? What's the gift? How much?
A bunch.
700. Go ahead.
10,000.
10,000. Read the commentaries. One of them says 750 pounds of silver. 150 pounds of gold. Now, I don't know if it didn't have the value then that it does now. I mean, type thing, per ounce or whatever. But it's a lot of money. So I can imagine $3-4 million changing hands like this. Maybe it did. But he said this very luxurious gift down there. And that shows what he thought of Naaman. And he was willing to put this up to do with that. So, now, Naaman comes up to the king of Israel, got this letter. King of Israel gets this letter and he reads it. What does it say? I have sent my servant to you to be healed. So you can heal, okay? Yeah. You're the king of Israel sitting here. Well, what's your reaction? Pretty much what he did, right? Well, what was his reaction? Question number four down there. I mean, he got big time upset. Ripped his clothes. Am I? Yeah, that's the kid. Am I God? At least he knows we have the ability to heal that nobody else would have. Okay, am I God? Here comes this letter that you may heal in this letter. Am I God to kill and make alive? That this king sends this leper to me to be healed? And what's his conclusion? He's calling me. He's playing with me. He's thinking of fighting with me. Okay. He's making me upset. And he succeeded. Okay. Now, as far as they can go with it, a new character comes in here now. Elisha steps in. He has heard about this. And what does he say? Send it to me. Okay. Who was the girl I'm talking about to start with? Elisha. Okay. Where you should have gone to start with. The story got a little crossed there. So, Elisha hears of it and says, let him come. Let him come to me. And here's the part. Let him come to me and what? He'll know what? He'll know there's a prophet in Israel. Okay? He'll know there's a prophet in Israel. Based on coming to me. So he comes to Elisha's house. I don't know how big of a company he had with him. But being this important man, with all this gold and silver with him, I think it would probably more than be this one little chariot pull up there. I don't know which in your mind how you would think that. But he knew he had some servants with him, because later on the servants will get involved in carrying the money back and helping Gehazi. I'm going to get that part there. But here's this, let's say this entourage, pulls up in front of Elisha's house. And Naaman's here. You said, send him to me. So what's Naaman expect to happen? Who am I? Anybody who he is? Big wheel. So, what's Elisha do? Go tell him. Go take care of it for me. He sends a servant out to Naaman. So that's the first thing that's kind of insulting. Is that a good word to it? About this thing here? He's been the king. The king got mad at him. Now he goes to Elisha's house. Elisha sends a servant out to him. Didn't even pay attention. Didn't even get him. Come out and see him. So, what did they tell him? Really put the climb back to him, put an insulting thing here. What did they tell him? No, I'm going to do that. Go wash the Jordan, okay? Go wash the Jordan 7 times. What he says. Question number 6. What was the instruction to him? How was the message delivered? Well, the servant said out there and said, go wash in the Jordan 7 times. Your flesh shall be restored to you. You shall be clean. Simple little statement. Okay? Simple little statement. Now, what's Naaman's reaction? I keep putting slides up yet, because all the answers are on. He was furious. That's right. He was furious. That's just the word. That's exactly what's in my notes here. Matter of fact, right there. He was furious. What did he say? Indeed, I thought, or said to myself, okay? I said to myself, well, I already know how this is going to be done, right? I know what's going to happen when I get there. I said to myself, I thought this is how it's going to be. Now, I'm going to come back to that point. We'll talk about it in a minute, okay? Let's go a little bit further there. So, since he didn't like what he said, what did he do? I'm going home, okay? I'm going home. We got better waters back there than you got down here. I'm going home. They're better than all the waters in Israel. And then, one of his servants makes a simple little statement to him. What did they tell him? What did that servant say?
If he had told you to do something, big thing, some great thing, you would have done that.
If he had told you to go out there and stand on your head, or bring me a $10 million or something outstanding like that, what would you have done? Everything in your power to do it, right? They told you something simple. Why can't you do that? Okay. So he listened to him. That's the best part of what Naaman did. He listened to him, went down, dipped in the Jordan 7 times, and what? Cleansed. Totally like a little child. Okay. All right. Now, a couple of things. I had the slide. I don't have my slides here. A slide I had earlier about the feeding the men, and the reminds us of the feeding the 5,000. Okay. What does this right here kind of remind you of? Anything? Yeah, baptism. The dipping and the cleansing, right? Did the water cleanse Naaman? No. When the water. Did baptism cleanse us? Did the water itself? No. The obedience does there. Okay? So, I mean, that's, I see a little parallel, some things that be drawn from us there. But I'll go back a minute to this right here. What does this remind you of? Do we ever catch ourselves? Right. Do we ever catch ourselves doing this?
This man thought so.
But this, so many times I think this is just what we, and maybe it's us, I never said sometime, maybe it's the religious world around us. Yeah. I said to myself, this is the way it ought to be. We ought to have this organization. We ought to have this way of worship. We ought to have this or this or this. Because that's how I thought it ought to be. That's how I thought God would like it. Behold, I thought.
Okay. You know, at the end of the churches, since at that time there was no kings, everybody went over blind in our lives.
Yep.
We had no better position to make the rules than they were.
And as long as he thought this, what? There got the leprosy, right? As long as that was his reaction to it. So he wanted something great to happen. Does God tell us to do anything great to become a Christian? Why, simple, really, right? As far as the physical act's concerned. Okay. But people have to make something major out of it sometimes.
In both cases, wasn't someone necessarily right, maybe the most educated, that told him what he needed to do? It was one little servant, brought him both times to find out what to do and then to give him back and do what he was doing.
Okay. Any other comments up to this point where we are here? Sure. Sure.
Let's go back there to where chapter 5, verse 8. Verse 10 being when we're close. And he's saying, why are you more than foot? Now, to me, that just kind of gone home that he should have known that there was somebody.
Oh, you didn't really want me, you wanted.
But it is, that kind of struck me, and I hadn't thought that before this time. But man, why did you take him close? Like, you did all that for nothing.
Which king this is? What are we thinking about the way some of these kings think about Elijah or Elisha? Or some of these other prophets?
That's right.
I don't want them. Don't get them around here. All they do is say bad things.
He knew why he did it. That's better than himself to become a king.
Yep. Okay. What's the lesson? What did Naaman conclude after this was over? After he went down in death, it was clean. What did he say? Now I what? I know. What did Elisha say he's going to know? He's going to know that there's what in Israel? A prophet. What did he say? I know. The God in Israel. He didn't say, I know that there's a prophet in Israel. He'd gone beyond that. There's no God in all the earth except in Israel. He'd gone beyond this as a prophet here. Don't know that. Okay. Naaman offered Elisha gifts. He brought gifts for that purpose. Elisha said what? Go on. Nope. And this is the kind of unusual thing here. What did Naaman ask for?
Two new loads
of dirt. For what? What's he going to do with it, Bill? When I go back home, this is the only God in all the earth right here. When I get back home, I intend to do what? I'm going to build an altar. I'm going to worship him. He's learned his lesson. He's learned who God is. They want to take some dirt from Israel back there and build this thing. Now, he said, I'll sacrifice to no other gods. But he did mention one special circumstance that had him concerned. What was that? Well, I go in before the idols with the king. He is on my arm, and I'm there escorting the king in. And he bows, and I bow with him. Please do what? Please pardon me, okay? This is going to happen. And I could make a lot of comments about that, or some comments about that. You know, did he have to bow to the idol? I mean, why does he think he's okay to go in with the king and bow to the idol when the God's here? But at least he recognized the fact that that's coming up, and that's not my God anymore. Learned his lesson. He learned his lesson. I thought it was interesting that he was thinking far enough ahead to think, that's going to come up down the road. I know it's going to happen. Pardon me when it happens. It's part of my role there.
Yes, kind of learned his lesson,
Yeah, you say my dirt's better than your dirt. I want some of your dirt, right? Like a bucket of water back with me too while I'm at it. So, okay. Now, we got down to number 9, I guess there. Number 10 on your paper there. Gehazi's going to step in here now, the servant. So what does he do? Naaman's refused to give. Elisha has refused to give. Naaman's on his way home. He leaves with his 2 mule loads of dirt going back there. Learned his lesson. Cleansed. And takes off. What's the Gehazi do? That's a lot of money, no sacks. That's a lot of money, no sacks. It would be nice if I had the living. So he takes off. Go at it. So he wanted somebody's gift offered by. So he goes after him. And what's Naaman's reaction? What did he tell him first? What made Elisha change his mind? Company came in. Yep. Couple of sons of the prophet came in, and because of this circumstance, I changed my mind. I need a little bit of that, a little bit of the gift. Not the whole thing, just a little bit. Because send me back a little money and a couple of changes of clothes for these men that's come in to visit. Now, he's already conceived the idea. Now, what's the first thing he's done wrong here? He's lied. Okay. He ain't through lying yet. Okay. But he's lied now. What's Naaman do? What do you want to do to start with? They wouldn't give him the gifts, right? And now I get a chance to thank you for this great thing you've done for me. So he even sends men back to have him carry the gifts back.
That's right. He lied, but he also lied in the name of Elisha.
Mm-hmm.
Because of his relationship
with Elisha. So, he lied in the name of Elisha here in a minute. Now it's just a lie to Elisha. He comes back, Elisha confronts him. What did he ask him? Where you been? What did he say? Nowhere. Lie number 2. So he lied about where he's been. Lied up here about that. And now he's lied again to Elisha. What did he learn from the past about how you treat God's prophets? Respect. And lying to their face is not one of them. How long Gehazi had been with him, but having just witnessed what he witnessed, would you not think that he had some inclination of God's relationship with Elisha? That he would know these things?
I was thinking that, and I just had a question. Where it says, verse 1, this phrase a couple times. But that's the Lord's business.
Mm-hmm.
I want to remind you of something. Is there anything
significant about the word? I don't know, but I'm sure Charles does. I don't know. I didn't dig into that phrase. Good question. Yeah.
That's the first time I wrote on that yourself, but
the in your name. Yeah. 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 Well, no, I'll look at that. Good question. So, what else did Gehazi? He gets what? He gets a leprosy on him. And I don't know what exactly it says. Not just a leprosy, but what's the rest of the sentence there? Your descendants forever. Okay? Your descendants forever. He would not be cleansed of it. It wouldn't go away. Your descendants forever. Okay. Anything else about? Anything about this one? We got a couple more little quickies here. Yes, sir.
One quick thing. Along what Doug just said, it was Elisha's word that just said, "As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive death."
Okay.
So the same word that Elisha said, "As the Lord lives," and of course, I promise, I'm going to do
that. Yeah.
He comes back and says, "As the Lord lives, I will go to heaven." So the exact words that Elisha used to say, "I will receive death."
He used to go get it. Okay, another little short story in here, pieced in, and we'll get to the next one before we get finished here. about a floating axe head. The sons of the prophets had outgrown their living quarters. They talked to Elisha. They decided to go down and cut some poles to build a new facility here. They go to Jordan to cut trees. And one of the men swinging his axe, and what happens to it? Axe head comes off. And where did it fall? In the water. And what does the axe head do with his water? It don't float. It goes down. This is the key thing. He was concerned about it because it was a borrowed axe. Okay. It'd be bad enough if it'd been your own, but it's borrowed. So I just threw a stick in the water. That's where it happened. So I got there, threw a stick in the water, and what happened? I said, floated. Okay. He's there, and he reaches out and retrieves it. And that's the story. Again, I don't know a lot to say about it. Obviously, it's a miracle involved in here. Just like feeding the men, it would impress the people there that saw it. That this is a man of God, respected for who he is. So. Okay, let's get this last one right quick, and we'll wrap up the whole thing with some comments. This is all events in Elisha's life here. The next is about the Syrians, the war with Syria. We mentioned earlier the raids that have been going on. So, continuous raids, in and out by Syria, apparently. It's raid after raid, bands of men going in. Again, neither king is named. We don't know which kings are at war or raiding over here. What would Elisha do? He tell the king of Israel what was going to happen. The king of Israel, so like at first didn't believe him, so he'd do what? He'd send him a reconnaissance team, if you went out there. And what would he find? Guess what? It's just like Elisha says it is over there. Okay? He always proved to be right. What he said the Syrians were doing, that's what they did. That's where he found them all the time there. So where the king of Syria began thinking, every time I go on a raid, they see me coming. So what's the king of Syria to tell? We got a spy. We got a traitor somewhere among us. Somebody is tipping off the king of Israel. Yeah, they were, but it wasn't in his camp there. So the king of Syria sends a big army down to Dothan to get Elisha when he finds out that's where it comes from. That's revealed to him. So here's Dothan. Down here's Samaria. Dothan's up here. Down to Dothan's where he comes. So they come up here. Damascus down to Dothan to, in fact, I think I got the circles marked on there. There we go, yeah. Down to Dothan to get Elisha. And I go out to prayer again. The servant sees this big army coming. Okay? He's scared. What are we going to do? And Elisha made a comment that didn't seem that much sense. What did he say? There's more of us than there is them. Okay? More of us than there is them. And he asked and he prayed that the God to open his servant's eyes that he may see. And when he did, what did the servant see? Mountains full of chariots and fire all around. And this army comes in. Elisha prays again. They be blinded. So we're down now getting into number 12 on the paper there. He prayed to be blinded. Then he leads them where? They're in Dothan, which is about 10, 12 miles north of Samaria. He leads them to Samaria. Now, how did Elisha lead this great army of blinded men? I don't know. One commentator I read said they weren't really totally blind. They were just their eyes fussed over. They couldn't see what they were doing to fight with. They were glazed some way. Then Elisha could leave. They could see. I don't know. Okay. They were blinded, it says. He led them. I'll leave it at that. Okay. So he leads them to Samaria, which is the capital of Israel. Who's there? The king. Okay. So he brings them in there, and their eyes are open. And here you are inside the city of your number one arch enemy all of a sudden when your eyes get opened up. So what's the king of Israel going to do to him? Thank you, Elisha. Look what you brought to me. It was to kill all of them. And what did Elisha say to him? If you had captured them with what? If you had captured them with your bow and your sword and brought them back here, would you have killed them? And that must have been the way he asked this. The obvious answer was no. Okay, because they brought him back captive there, not to that purpose there. So what did Elisha tell them to do to him?
Feed them.
Feed them, of all things. And then what else then? Feed them and send them home. So here's your enemy that's been brought and handed to you, King of Israel. You want to kill them? Elisha says, nope, don't kill them. Feed them, send them home. But here's the key. What the result? What happened the next several years?
Didn't bother them anymore.
Okay? They didn't come back to attack for a long time again. That time. Okay. Several little stories there for the life of Elisha. Comments? Thoughts? Not from anybody. Got a quiet bunch tonight.
So some of the lessons you can cite is early on, I need these lessons to show the line of what's God's prophet. Though there was a prophet, the line, and it's God. And some of those you have respect for God's people. We would have respect for one another, for one another, or those who have respect for the elders, but have respect for those who spend their lives preaching the gospel. Those are God's messengers. Those are God's people. And those lessons show that God takes care of us.
Mm-hmm. Maybe this case here, this last one. Yeah, good.
So
if
God's glory, this last lesson also, from the young man there with him before you can see all that, watch and pray. Before the mind is watch and pray.
Yes, sir.
Well, there's so many points that conversation I have spent, but one of the things that strikes me here is Elisha tells the servant, as his eyes be open, that he may see power for those armies that are around. In all of what the Assyrians saw, maybe not to the opening of their eyes, but just like being blinded by taking, normally would be killed but sent home. They said, we're not touching them anymore. What did they say? They saw
the
second
servant
did.
Heat coals of fire from their head type thing. Okay. You know, Matt's my co-teacher next quarter. I'm doing this in high school class again next quarter. Matt learns the thought more then he does now. I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. I thought that about it one night. He said, I'm listening. I'm listening. Get ready. So. Okay. Anything else on this? We got to come to this. Yes, Trevor.
Yes.
Sure. Swallow your pride on the way a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And then you see that pride again being pushed and tested, the command to go and dip yourself. And think to me how you see God working with him, providentially with the message that's given to him. And then, as was said earlier, the people who saw clearly what needed to be done were the servants. And I think that goes to show that most often the things that are the barriers for us coming to the truth, or that being the truth, a lot of times it's not intelligence or riches or wealth, it's a spot. And humility is the virtue, honestly. But I think those are great lessons for us.
But until God breaks your pride,
right,
and you listen to those simple little,
right,
simplistic commands,
right,
there.
And if you compare it with like Pharaoh, you see God was pressing him too. So people do have the option to still do what they want to do all the way to the bitter end.
I got a couple of things. I'll kick off a second. Through that. Something different here.
Thanks, son.